Okay. We'll be back here. The Mishnah that we began yesterday on Yud Gimel Amud Bet. Ve'elo megalchin b'moed habam mimidinat hayam. Somebody who comes from Midinat Hayam, overseas. What are we talking about? So source one on your sheet, I found the, I'll call it the extreme view. It's the view of the Ritva. The Ritva says, Haba mi Medinat Hayam, kol sheba michutz la'ir, kari Medinat Hayam. Anybody who comes from out of your city is considered somebody who came from Medinat Hayam. V'af al pi she'eino makom rachok. You don't even have to travel very far. So the Mishnah is saying, you have to shave before Yontif. If you didn't shave on Yontif, before Yontif, you can't shave on Chol HaMoed. Except for, I don't actually have an extra sheet. Some people may, I don't know, oh, or share. Or,
I'll come here.
Sorry.
He had an extra one.
Why did you say that?
Why does it say Medina Sayyam? Okay. Even if you're just going over the bridge, even if you're just going to the next town, you are away for Erev Yontif. You come back to where you're from on Chol HaMoed. You're allowed to shave. That sounds a bit extreme. And I'm not the only one to take the Ritva to task on this. In addition to that being too easy of a way out of this, and the Mishnah calls it, as we were just told, calls it Medina Tayam, somebody who is far away. But here in source 2, the Mishnah Berurah says, Abam Medina Tayam, Davka mi Medina Tayam. It has to be specifically that you went overseas. Dimifarsama Milta. Remember, we are concerned that if people see you shaving, they're going to assume you're allowed to shave, and they won't know you had extenuating circumstances. So if everybody knows that you just came back from overseas, and imagine in the time of the Mishnah, that was a much larger communal event, somebody coming from overseas, not like every day when you get on a plane, and then, okay, so we're, oh, you weren't here last Shabbos, where were you? America. So that was not as routine of an event. So he says, the mefarsim amilta. But if you only went somewhere else, local, that's not enough of a reason to allow you to be able to shave on Chol HaMoed. And he cites that from the Magen Avraham. Vayein b'machatzid ha-shekel. Dehu adin mishar makom rachok ma'od demefarsim ha-milta. This isn't a din in traveling over water. This is a din of distance. If you went far, if you traveled across Europe, even if at no point did you hit any water, still, when you came back, you were allowed to be able to shave. And then in the parentheses he says, "Ubechidushe Ritva Katav Kol Shabach Chutz Leir Mikri Medina Tayam Vafal Pish Eino Machkom Rachok B'Tzarech Iyun." Tzarech Iyun is his way of saying, "Huh? Doesn't look good, right?" Most understand that we're talking about Medina Tayam. And we are going to discuss two main ways to understand that now that we do the Gemara. But that was even understanding the word of the Mishnah. So now let us go to Yudalit Amud Aleph in the middle of the page at the colon. Medina Tayam. Matnitin Dilo Kirabi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Sometimes a Gemara will tell you or ask, Lema matnitin dilo ke. Let us say our Mishnah is not like. And what is it trying to do? It'll quote something he says, and we'll compare it, and we'll see if we can make the two work. There's a seeming contradiction, so sometimes we'll go, indeed, those two don't go together. And sometimes we'll say, no, you can just understand when he said that case, that was, I don't know, about the Doraita, and this is about the Darabanan, meaning some way in Okimta to make it work, that the two of them can go together. This is not like that. This is the Gemara saying, Manitin dilo k'Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Ditanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and says Tosvot. Join me in the Tosvot second. It's the bottom one on the left column, because there's another Tosvot on the bottom of the page. Matnitin delok Rabbi Yehuda. Tema lukma filuk Rabbi Yehuda olamizonot. When we're going to see the Braita, Rabbi Yehuda has a case where he allows shaving and has a case where he doesn't. So why don't we say our Mishnah is like him? Just he's talking about the lenient case. Why bother saying our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda? There has to be something here that tells us it's not like Rabbi Yehuda. And Tosot says, Veshema, Kevan Diktani, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Haba, Bechuli, Mashma Haba, Lachlokal Mishnah. Since it says, Rabbi Yehuda says, one who comes, he's coming to disagree with the Mishnah. Is there anyone who can tell me what Tosot is pointing out? What is it about Rabbi Yehuda Omer Haba? Because it says Rabbi Yehuda Omer Haba, he's coming to disagree. So we have certain codes in the Gemara. Even when it says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, that is not the same as Rabbi Yehuda Amar. It sounds the same. It sounds like both mean Rabbi Yehuda says. And if you were being very careful, you might say, said Rabbi Yehuda for one of them, or Rabbi Yehuda says. So the code that Tosot is pointing out is, for example, we'll have a Braita or a Mishnah that'll say, this is the view, Divrei Rabbi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, what's Rabbi Yehuda Omer coming to do? Disagree. As opposed to Amar Rabbi Yehuda, where he is saying his statement in agreement, irrespective of the first statement. Here he's saying something contradictory, something that disagrees. So the Gemara says, Manitin delo k'Rabbi Yehuda. Titanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Haba mimedinat hayam, lo yigaleach mipnei sheyatza shelo berishut. Somebody who comes from overseas should not shave because he left shelo berishut, without permission, without approval. Rashi here, Dibur Amachil Mipnei Sheyatza Shelo Berishut. It's the first word on the line, Mipnei. I was told to, when I quote a Rashi, that I should try and direct people to find that same Rashi. So it's the first word on the line, smack in the middle of the page. Mipnei Sheyatza Shelo Berishut, Klomar, Hawil Velo Yatza Berishut Acherim, Ela Bertzon Atzmo, Lav Anasu. Since he didn't go without the reshut of others, he went from his own reshut, he doesn't have permission to shave. We're still missing something here, right? Oh. So, what if I were to define reshut not as with permission, but out of necessity? Meaning, he didn't do so compelled by others, under the authority of others. He did so of his own volition. Now, we could sort of understand. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Haba mimedinat hayam, lo yigaleach, mipnei sheyatza shelo berishut. He can't shave because he, when he left, did so without of his own volition, without being forced to do so.
Why don't you state that as a general statement, if you went with the shoes or if you didn't go? Instead, it makes a specific case.
Rabbi Yehuda makes a specific case. The Mishnah has the general case. Rabbi Yehuda is coming to disagree with the Mishnah. And Rava is bothered by what you're bothered, because Rava is going to limit Rabbi Yehuda to only a certain case. Rava's going to say, everyone agrees in this case, some disagree in that. Okay, that's where we're going. But right now, as the Gemara posits it, we have the Mishnah saying, Baminat Hayam, you came from overseas, you could shave. Rabbi Yehuda says, Baminat Hayam can't shave, and the reason he gives, Shiatzah Shelo Bereshut. But many were disturbed by this term shildo bereshut, because it's a term we have elsewhere in Shas, and it doesn't mean what it means here. It means permission. It means that you violated some kind of prohibition.
Well, it's elsewhere in Shas, we find repeatedly that certain Talmidei Chachamim wanted to go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. And they either had to go and ask the Rebbe for reshus, who gave it to them, or, in some cases, they avoided the Rebbe at all costs
because
they knew
what his answer would be.
What his answer would be.
Yes.
So therefore, that's the reshus we're talking about.
Okay. So you're already assuming what I'm about to say, which is that we're dealing with something with Eretz Yisrael. Because so far, I haven't discussed that. So far, it could be a guy in Georgia traveled to California.
With reshus, and then
or
say that.
A guy in New York traveled to London.
And who's the reshus acherim Rashi is talking about? That's what you're expecting. What's the reshus acherim?
So either literally asking your rabbi for a heter, or in general knowing what the din is about who is allowed to travel.
But it's a strange lashon to use if you're asking for halacha psuka, yes or no.
Correct.
Reshus acherim.
Correct.
There's
no reshut acherim in the Gemara. Rashi has the word acherim.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's why we explained according to Rashi that it was compelled by others. They're, because of his needs, without everybody helping him out and saying, stay for Yontif, we'll make sure you have food. No, you had to go.
Or does it mean?
Yeah.
His own reshus atzmo is, he just wanted to go on his own. Shus Acherim means his business says, you have a meeting next week in Europe. You've got to be there.
That's very different.
And that's, is that Rosh Shus Acherim?
But that would be Shalom Rosh Shus Acherim would be that you didn't have that.
That's right. You just decided to.
Yeah.
He says you need the Rosh Shus
Acherim. Oh. That's a good question.
The Mishnah is talking about distance. Now we're talking about permission.
The Mishnah. Yeah, but maybe you need a certain permission in order to go that distance, that kind of trip. That's what we're going to discuss. That's why we're bothered by this lashon of why do I need my mommy's note in order to be able to go on a vacation?
Well, when we're getting to this permission part, are you assuming that the distance is longer?
Yeah, because the Ritva seems strange that there would be a heter to just for going out of town. So the Ravid was the one who was most bothered by this lashon. And the Ravid therefore tells us that, let us go to source 7, top of the second column. The Rush cites this Ravid. Everybody cites this Ravid, but you'll see why I included the Rush when we get a little later in the shir. Habam Natayam. Vaharavid Zal Pirish, the Ravid explained, De Plukta de Rabbi Yehuda Virabanan, Aire Biyotze Chutzalaretz, Vahachi Muchach Birushalmi. What does the Ravid say? What does it mean, Sheyatza Shloberishut? He violated an Isser. He did something wrong. Shloberishut. Chazal have rules about who is allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. This person violated that rule. He went to Chutz La'aretz without permission. Now he comes back to Eretz Yisrael, and it's Chol HaMoed, and he wants to shave. Chutzpah, the audacity. We're not going to let him shave.
Would have been better off to use the word heter, if that's the case.
Would have. That's what the Ravid is saying it's saying.
I thought the reverse.
In other words, you're saying that's a refutation of the Ravid's view. Because it didn't use
the
word.
That word.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The Ravid is source 3?
Source 7. The Rush cites the Ravid in source 7. Okay.
And if it's like this, so, sorry. What is this permission? What permission are we is the right of identity? Permission of who? What?
Halacha allows certain situations when one is allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. That's going to be the Iyun part of our shir. What are those situations where one is allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael?
So the Ravid would not be like Rashi.
Correct. That's what I'm trying to present. Rashi says it's some kind of need, and the Ravid says it has to do with leaving Eretz Yisrael. Now, leaving Eretz Yisrael can again be allowed with some kind of need, but Ravid says the Yatza Shelo B'Rashut, he's bothered by this word Shelo B'Rashut. Shelo B'Rashut, the Ravid says, well, since I know sometimes Shelo B'Rashut means violated an Isser, what Isser can I come up with? The Isser of leaving Eretz Yisrael. And part of our discussion a little bit later is going to be, is there indeed an Isser of Eretz Yisrael? What's its scope? Ramifications? Are there heterim? How it works? Okay.
But even according to the Ravid, came back before the Yom Tov,
you're saying from based on the last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Only because he decided to come back after on Kol HaMoed.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. But now let me ask a question. He doesn't mention Eretz Yisrael, the Rashi.
I'm saying that the language fits in with the Shad of the Ravid.
Ravid, yeah, because it uses the word Shalom Bereshut, which sounds like an Isser is happening. And what Isser can we come up with traveling?
So. Mishnah says, who can say people that are on the oinus?
But the oinus refers to returning from Chutz La'aretz. That person is considered an oinus. And nonetheless, the Ravid says, even though this person comes back from Chutz La'aretz, since when he left, he did so Shelo B'Rashut, we are not going. This guy couldn't shave Erev Yontif. We all agree. But the Ravid is saying because he traveled with Shelo B'Rashut, even though he was Ones, we're not going to let him shave. Okay. That's possible then.
Rashi defines Ones, at least according to Rashi's
mission. Yes.
Ones is, was he forced to go or was he not forced to go?
Correct.
That's what Ones is. Not how you came back, but how did you leave?
Correct.
Rashi says, Kloma, hov lo yatza b'yishus acher, elo b'yirtzon atzmo, lav anus.
He is not the anus of the Mishnah's heter. Okay, would you grant me that?
Yeah.
The Mishnah's heter is cases of onus, and Rashi is saying this person, shiyatza shelo b'rashut, isn't the Mishnah's case of Ones that were matir him to shave.
Right.
Okay, so now let me ask a question. The same question we had last time regarding the neder. Remember? These Ones, before some lakol, right, everybody knew about it. So what is it about? Let's start that sentence again. The Ravid says that the reason the reason we are not going to let this person shave is because he violated an Isser. The Ravid says, what Isser? The Isser of leaving Eretz Yisrael. Some of our other cases in the Mishnah involve an Isser. Remember, Hayotze mi beit ha'asurin. Person came out of prison. Why was a person in prison?
Well, they put people in prison in those days for anything.
For anything, okay. But remember I mentioned that we include even a Jewish prison. And I don't want to assume that even in a Jewish prison they put you in for anything. Okay? You had to do something wrong. Okay? Even if you don't grant my assumption for that one, let's go to the next one. V'ha menuda. What's a menuda? The person who was put in cherem by the chachamim. He did something wrong. So why? He also, his ones was due to the violation of an Isser. In other words, if the Ravid is saying, that Rabbi Yehuda is saying, this person violated an Isser, and therefore, even though he might be ones, he is not the case of the ones of the Mishnah, the circumstance beyond his control that the Mishnah allows this person to shave in Chol HaMoed, because he violated an Isser. He did something wrong. Who else did something wrong? Other people. And indeed, the Mishnah gives a dispensation for those people to shave on Chol HaMoed. An interesting answer I saw is source 3.
Are you saying then that the Mishnah, all the cases listed in the Mishnah?
No, I did not say that. Many of them are just, you know, the guy was, you know, he had a neder, he was a nazir, he was a metzora, he got out of captivity for no fault of his own.
Right.
Okay? I'm just saying that some of the cases of the Mishnah, the person did something wrong. And yet the Mishnah is willing to give a dispensation for that person to be able to shave at Chol HaMoed. And the Ravid is saying the reason why this person doesn't have a dispensation is because he did something wrong. So why would one person doing something wrong allow him to shave at Chol HaMoed and leave the possibility of him shaving Chol HaMoed? And one person, that's a reason for us to disallow or not allow him to shave on Chol HaMoed. So the Matzevet Moshe, and yes, I had to look up who that was, Rabbi Moshe Bitzalel Luria, who lived 1835 to 1914. He was a Rav of many Lithuanian cities and author of about 13 different Sfarim. The only one I heard of was Masech Hoshev. But he was a close Talmud of the Netziv in the famous Beis Din of who would be the Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin. He testified for the Netziv, or he argued, lawyered on behalf of the Netziv. Okay, so he was a close Talmud of the Netziv. And he asks this question. Let us read source 3. B'gemara Amar, Dilasho Divriak Holasur, yes, that's a part we didn't get up to. But Katav Nivunka Yosef, may arrive it. I said many cite this Ravid. Dafka b'yatza me'eret yisrael l'chutz l'aretz. The cave and the asur latzei v'yatza lo natir lo l'galeaf u'l'chabez k'sheba b'chol HaMoed. It's specifically where you went from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, since you weren't allowed to leave, and he went anyway, we are not going to allow him to shave or do laundry when he returns on Chol HaMoed. Bitzarech iun ksat. We have to try and understand. Imatam hu the kevanda ones balo ayadei iser shasamit chilo. If the reason we are not going to allow him to do so is because his circumstances beyond his control, the course of events that led to this began with an iser that he did at the beginning. Lama natir b'minude she'etiru lo chachamim. This series of events was set off by whatever he did wrong that made the Chachamim put him in Cherem. Also the guy in prison did something wrong. The person who went on a trip knows when I go on a trip, I may get delayed. I may be stuck on the tarmac. I may have many hours waiting in an airport, flight cancellations, all sorts of traffic. I may not get back in time. And therefore, he knows he's taking a risk. V'hilkach lo natir lo. And therefore, he knowingly went with that risk in mind. So when he comes back, and indeed, he was delayed, and he didn't have a chance to shave on the road, so we are not going to allow him to do so. Aval b'menuda v'yotze mibeit ha'asurin, yesh lomar d'be'eit ha'iser, lo salak adaite klal shi'in adu yichabshu. When he did what he did wrong, at no point did he have in mind they were going to catch him and put him in prison, and he wouldn't be able to shave. At no point did he have in mind the Chachamim are going to excommunicate me for this, and I won't have an opportunity to shave. Because first of all, he doesn't predict the punishment, expect the punishment. How many people who do something wrong realize that they may get punished or expect it? And certainly, the afterthought of then, therefore, maybe I won't be able to shave before Yontif, that thought never enters his mind. Therefore, because that guy, not every person who does something wrong, we don't let him shave on Chol HaMoed. It's every person who did something wrong, knowingly taking a risk that won't allow him to shave before Yontif, we're not going to now give him a dispensation to be able to shave and call him over. That was the answer of the Matzevet Moshe.
Here too we see that it's not how he comes back that makes him an honest. It's how he left.
Okay.
What did he do? What were the circumstances that caused him to have to leave or to leave on his own will? Those make him an honest.
Okay. So, who makes that point most? Oh, you have another question, sorry.
How can I say he gets punished because he left it as a sword? The majority of Jews is time to come over, they're leaving in Chutz La'aretz.
So, those.
The majority was leaving out of Chutz La'aretz.
So, those people were allowed to shave or not allowed to shave based on whether they were home or not. This person who the Rabbi is saying, that when the Gemara says, let's start with this. The Mishnah says, Abam Minat Hayam can shave. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda says, not somebody sheyatza shelo bereshut. The Rabbi said, whom are we talking about? We're talking about somebody who left Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. He agrees with you that somebody in Chutz La'aretz doesn't have this limitation. That person didn't do the thing wrong that this person did. Maybe he's doing something wrong by living in Chutz La'aretz. That's a different discussion. But that's not the Ravid's focus. Okay. Let's continue in the Gemara. Amar Rava. Rava says, Lashut, which means to roam, to travel, to go on an excursion, Divrei Hakol Aser. That is not allowed. Limizono, what does it mean that is not allowed? That person cannot shave on Chol HaMoed. Limizonot, if he left because he was lacking basic sustenance, and if he went on this trip, he would be able to earn enough to eat. So then, he's of course allowed to do so. Divrei Hakol Mutter. When he comes back, he's allowed to shave. Lo Nechlechu Ela Laharvicha. Somebody who has enough for his basic needs, and now he's going out to earn extra. Somebody who has enough for his short-term future, and he's going out because he's concerned about his long-term future. Mar midamile kilashut, umar midamile kimizonot. One of them says, that person, what he's doing is more comparable to going on vacation. And one of them says, no, even your long-term future is important. So yes, you have enough basic sustenance for a few days, but why do you have to worry about what you're going to eat in 2 weeks just because you have enough to eat in 1 week? And again, obviously, where you would draw the line between those two, basic sustenance and long-term financial stability, I'm sure we can all come up with a whole range of where that would fall. But here, it's limited to three categories. Vacation, basic sustenance, and more money. So vacation, everybody agrees, problematic. Basic sustenance, everybody agrees, poor guy. Okay? The problem is, what about the person doing a little bit extra?
Are we certain that we're focused on the range of I've got enough to live now, but I don't know if I have enough to live 2 weeks. Rashi says the harbi.
Yes, that was my next point. Good.
This is a rich man.
Let's bring everybody there. Harvicha, first word on the line.
What if he goes out to visit relatives?
Good. That's the second to last. That's the last source on my page. Okay, we're gonna get there. Okay. Harvicha. Sheyesh lo nechasim harbi. He is already rich, and he's going to be richer. What was bothering Rashi? That we don't fault somebody who only has a week of food for getting 2 weeks of food. How can we frown upon a person being concerned like that? The only way that we can say what he's doing is something wrong would be if it was somebody who is already wealthy. Okay, as you were pointing out. Yes. Now I'm going to say what I wanted to say before about the neder. Remember, we said about a neder, we were concerned, how does everybody else know about it? Right? We had to say circumstances beyond our control, and then the Gemara says, oh, everybody sees the person who has only one shirt. So we all know he's that person, and I'm not going to learn from his case to my case. And we know about the person who came out of captivity. It was a big event. And so far, I said that Medinat Hayam was a much larger event. A person returned from overseas. Everybody in town knew about it. But what are we saying here now, according to Rava? Not only does everybody know when somebody goes overseas, but everybody knows why somebody went overseas. Source 4, the Meiri. Va'asu davar zeh kinikar anso lakol shakol yodin havchin bein ayotze l'shut liyotze l'tzorech. Everybody knows why you left. Okay, I guess a guy comes back with a nice business suit, and so they know he's a businessman. And a guy comes back looking like a schlump and has a bag of stuff over his shoulders and scraggly clothes. So Mistama, the poor guy, went because he needed basic living. So our question last time was that people are going to learn from it and decide for themselves that they can do it. And the whole discussion last time was, what about if you had a lost object, Erev Yontif? And is that Unso, Yadula, Nikar, Lakol, everybody knows about it or not? And we had a Teku, and we had one case, and what if it was the barber, and everybody knows about it, etc. So here, the Meiri was bothered by the same question. If we're saying that we're distinguishing between the reasons somebody left, so we have to say that people know the reason people left. Okay? That was source 4. Now, let me add one point. With the Raven in mind, we have to understand Rava's statement. Rava says, you can't go for a tiyul. Everybody agrees you can go for basic sustenance, and everybody agrees you can't go for a tiyul. The machloket is about harvacha, extra. But according to both, someone with permission to leave can shave upon his return. So the only inference, let's say this again. Somebody with permission to leave can shave on his return. It's somebody without permission to leave can shave on his return, and it's only a discussion who is that person. Is Laharvicha considered somebody with permission or somebody without? Because everybody agrees, you went on a tiul, you can't. And everyone agrees, you went for basic sustenance, you can. That is not part of the machloket. The machloket is only about laharvicha. Is that like case A or like case B? But now with the Raven in mind, where the whole discussion is about leaving Eretz Yisrael for these purposes, for a tiul, for business purposes, what inference can we make that two different places in Chutz La'aretz or two different places in Eretz Yisrael, you went to the Golan or Eilat and only got back on Chol HaMoed, there would be a dispensation to allow you to shave on Chol HaMoed? Why? Because the Ravid says the reason you wouldn't be allowed to was because you violated the Isser of leaving Eretz Yisrael. Did this person violate that Isser? No. So then the standard dispensation of Haba Miminenta Tayam still applies to him. If we don't hold of the Ravid, if we hold like Rashi, then it might depend on the reason for going, even within state to state or city to city, area, region to region, without, again, without using the Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz problem. Let me rephrase and maybe it'll clarify. Okay? The Ravid says, the reason, the only problem here with this person, why he doesn't get the dispensation to allow him to shave on Chol HaMoed, even though this person is indeed a Haba Mimedinat Hayam, and that is one of the people who are allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed, is because he violated an Isser. What Isser? Leaving Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz. That means that if the person left, not Eretz Yisrael, but left far without violating that Isser, even though it was for a vacation, even though it was for Arvicha, still, there's no problem with him being able to shave. Since the Ravid is making the distinction based on him, on the Yisr. If we don't say it's based on Eretz Yisrael, then we're going to say Rava's rule applies regardless. Even if you're only going locally, or even if you do go Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, but if it's for basic sustenance, you could shave. If it's for Tiyul, you wouldn't be able to shave. According to Rashi, it means either a great distance or indeed Medina Tayami. You travel overseas. But it could be, Africa to Europe. It doesn't have to do with leaving Eretz Yisrael. That's the point I'm trying to... According to Rashi. According to not Ravid.
Rashi says this man was supposed to ask permission. Rashi says he was supposed to... The only case in which you have to ask permission... is when you leave Eretz Yisrael.
He doesn't say Eretz Yisrael.
Rashi doesn't say Eretz Yisrael. What else are you asking permission?
So that's what we're saying, that it's not asking permission. It's at the compulsion of others, that you need to because you... that you're compelled to out of necessity. That's what we're trying to say. The Ravid was bothered by what you're bothered by, as in, what could this person be doing wrong? It must be he's leaving Eretz Yisrael. Rashi wasn't bothered by that, apparently. And so he says, this person, what does it mean that he left Shalom Bereshut? That he wasn't compelled to. He just left of his own volition.
So according to Rashi, Shalom Bereshut Sacherim means
compelled to by others.
How did they, who and why did they compel
him? Either because he needed to, as we're going to see, for his own sustenance, it's his job, or if he didn't have food. Or, just to earn himself a... meaning not only that a person sends him on a business trip, that he needs to go out on a business trip to earn his living. Okay. Yeah.
The Ravid is just saying that he left there. But it's kind of like if you had an outline, he's saying that, okay, but now we're doing, let's say that's Roman numeral 1, but now we're coming in with this permission, but he doesn't make any correlation with that. So it's like another whole issue that we're trying to decide in relation to what he's saying. But how can you even, if all he's saying is this is black and white like that, he's not making any comment about that.
Rashi.
No.
Oh, the Ravid. Right, because the Ravid is saying that it's all about Eretz Yisrael. So now when the Gemara says though that we're going to see that there are people who do indeed have a dispensation to leave Eretz Yisrael. One of those could be the person who lacks basic sustenance. Okay. Fine. Let us do... So let's read the Gemara as the Ravid. The Gemara says, our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says somebody who comes from Medinat Hayam can't shave because he left without permission. So far, the Ravid makes more sense. That without permission, he left Eretz Yisrael. Comes Rava and says, Lashut Ivriakol Usser. If the reason he left Eretz Yisrael was for a vacation, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go on vacation. So of course, this guy who came back, he did something wrong, he can't shave. The Mizonot Ivriakol Mutter. If the reason he left Eretz Yisrael was because he lacked basic sustenance, can you fault the guy? No. So Mutter, he can shave. Lo nechlaku al larvicha, is it considered like lashut or like larvicha? So that's how the Ravid read the Gemara thus far. Okay, let us continue in the Gemara. Meitve. Amar Rebbe. Rebbe said, Nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda kesheyatza shelo bereshut, v'divrei chachamim kesheyatza bereshut. That is the entire quote of Rebbe. So Maitve takes the quote and analyzes it, and it's going to make its point. We haven't yet asked the question. Okay? But so far we had, our Mishnah says one thing. Rabbi Yehuda disagreed with the Mishnah, that the Gemara said. Rava comes along and says, don't assume, meaning the Mishnah says, Habam Natayam can shave. Rava says, and one second, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees in Sheyotza Lo Bereshut. Rava says, let's limit their machloket. In other words, previously we were assuming they disagreed in all cases. Whatever the impetus was for leaving, their machloket. And Rava said, no, their machloket is only in certain cases. He limits it. So now, the Maitve says, Amar Rebbe.
According to Rava, the Mishnah is only talking about Rebbe. The Mishnah says that you
yes,
allow.
Correct. He says the machloket, not that the Mishnah is only talking about, the machloket between Rebbe and the Mishnah, the Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah, is only about Harvicha.
So the Mishnah that says you're allowed
is in all cases. The machloket is in one case. Okay? When we said Manit in Delok Rabbi Yehuda, it's not Delok Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with him in his whole life. It disagrees with him on this one point. So Rava limits it. Now we are going to question that statement Rava made. Rava, you say they only disagree on this one point? Check out what I got here. Meitve, Amar Rebbe, Nirin Divrei Rabbi Yehuda Kishiyatza Shelo Bereshut, or Divrei Chachamim Kishiyatza Bereshut. Rabbi Yehuda makes sense regarding the person who left without permission or violating the Isser, depending on our ways of reading that. And the Chachamim makes sense regarding the person who left with permission. My Shelo Bereshut. Now we're analyzing the Braita the Maitveh quoted. Ilema Lashut. What does it mean he left without permission? If you're saying he went on vacation, Vahamart Divrei Hakol Aser. Rava had said that everybody agrees the person who went on vacation did something wrong. Ve'ela Lemizonot. So can it be the second case of the person who went for basic sustenance? Vahamart divrei akol mutter. Rava said everybody agrees that's okay. So what case is Rebbe saying he makes sense in this one and he makes sense in this one? What must it be about? Ela pshita laharvicha. Okay. Ema seifa. Rebbe's statement continues. The Braita stopped there for the analysis. The Braita continues. It was like a open bracket, close bracket. Now we're back to the Braita. Ema Seifa, the end of the Braita says, Nirin Divrei Chachamim Kishiyatza Bereshut. Meaning, we're going back to analyze that second part of the Braita. We already analyzed Nirin Divrei Yehuda Kishiyatza Shelo Bereshut. Now we have to explain what does it mean, Divrei Chachamim Shiyatza Bereshut. My Bereshut. Okay, once again, we explain Shelo Bereshut, what's Bereshut? Ilema Lemizonot, if you want to say that he said the Chachamim makes sense in Rishut, and that means Rabbi Yehuda doesn't make sense in Rishut, and what are we talking about? Mizonot. But you, Rava, said that everybody agrees regarding Mizonot. Ve'ela laharvicha, v'ha'amart nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda baha. We just said 2 seconds ago in this Braita, Rabbi says, Nirin Divrei Rabbi Yehuda Kishiyatza Shelo Bereshut, Divrei Chachamim Kishiyatza Bereshut. And we had to explain that when he said Nirin Divrei Rabbi Yehuda Kishiyatza Shelo Bereshut, he was talking about Harvicha. So how can Divrei Chachamim Bereshut also be referring to Harvicha? Okay? That is the question on Rava. As in, we have three cases. And Rava said everybody agrees on the two extremes. Their discussion is only on the middle one case. So now we have a problem. Because Rebbe says, Rabbi Yehuda makes sense to me in one case, and the Chachamim makes sense to me in the other case. And that doesn't make sense to us, because there's only one case where they disagree. Everyone now has the Maitveh. The Maitveh is saying, you, Rabbi, say They agree in two of the cases and disagree. One, and here we have Rebbe saying what makes sense here makes sense to me, and what they say here makes sense to me. So apparently there's two cases, at least, a plurality, where they disagree. Two, more than one. Meitve, Kasha Am Rava.
Well, seems to be the statement that Rebbe says.
Rebbe was first.
But he seems to be contradicting himself.
Well, Rebbe says what they only if we assume, like Rava, that everybody agrees on those other two cases. What if I were to tell you there's a possibility that they disagree on all three cases? And Rebbe is saying, well, what he said makes sense to me on the first case regarding the Zonot, we should be Mekel. And regarding Atziul, we should be Machmir. It's only a problem because you've accepted Rava as a given, which is that everybody agrees Atziul is a problem and Mizonot for basic sustenance is allowed. Only because we assume like Rava. If we don't assume like Rava, so then Rebbe's problem is, meaning Rebbe stands alone and Rava stands alone. It's only if the two of them have to make sense together. And since Rebbe is a much more authoritative source here, we're going to question Rava, how do you explain yourself in light of this statement of Rebbe? So the Gemara answers. Hachi kamar. Nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda lirabbanan kishayatza shalom bereshut umaynihu lashut shafilu chachamim lo nechleku alav elalar vicha aval lashut module. V'nirin divrei Rabbanan lirabbi Yehuda kishayatza bereshut umaynihu limizonot shafilu Rabbi Yehuda lo nechlak alayam elalar vicha aval limizonot module. How did I read it the first time, and now I'll read it again the second time the other way? The first time I said, what they said makes sense to me, Rebbe. I think Rabbi Yehuda makes sense in Shiyatza Shelo Bereshut, and I think what the Chachamim said makes sense in Shiyatza Bereshut. And the Gemara's way of rephrasing it so that this Breita is not a refutation of Rava, does not contradict Rava in any way, is what Rabbi Yehuda says in Shiyatza Shelo Bereshut makes sense to the Chachamim. And what the Chachamim say in Bereshut makes sense to Rabbi Yehuda. Rebbe is not weighing in on his own personal opinion. He is saying what Rava is saying. Actually, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim agree in two of the three cases. When it comes to Mizonot, they both agree the person is excused. When it comes to Atziul, they agree, how could he do that? And Laharvicha, that's where the machloke between our Mishnah and Rabbi Yehuda is. Okay? That was the Pshat Gemara. The big question now we all have in our minds is there indeed an Isser to leave Eretz Yisrael? The Rebbe explains our Gemara that what is Shiyatza Bereshut or Shelo Bereshut about leaving Eretz Yisrael? Is that indeed the case? So now we're going to go to our source sheet. Yes?
Going back to Rashut, the way I see it, Rashut has two different meanings. One is for the using in that in those annotations, and the other one could be if you say playboy is roaming the world. And then you see that the definitions are diametrically opposed to each other.
Okay, but either way, it's not a need. It's not a basic.
Not necessarily.
So you need rest. But you need to travel for that? So 2 weeks, you can take off. But do you need to travel to Chutz La'aretz for that? Is our discussion. Okay. So that's going to... We're going to see a person who says what you say. Okay. Let us begin. Let's start with source 6, which was one of the sources you had on the other side of the page in English. Those of you who were able to prepare it. So there's a story there. Hahu Gavra, a man, Dinafla Le Yevama Bechuza. His brother died childless, and now his brother's his deceased brother's wife is waiting for him to come to Yibum or Chalitza. And in order for this Gemara to make sense, most of the Mefarshim say she's waiting for him to do Yibum. In other words, she's waiting for him to come there and marry him and stay. And she's in Chutz Laretz. Yeah.
And why do you say that? Why do the Mefarshim feel compelled to say you stay? Maybe he'll go after you and bring her back to Israel.
That would be lovely. Well, let's see what the answer is. And maybe you'll see why that wasn't a realistic possibility. So, Atal kamei de Rabbi Chanina. He comes and asks Rabbi Chanina. Amar lei, mahu lemechad ulim yavmam. Can I go down and perform yibum? Amar lei, achiv nasa kutit vameit. Your brother married a Samaritan, a Kutite. Okay, so did he indeed intermarry? Then it doesn't seem that there would be yibum. So really he's saying, he married a Sheikhess from Chutz Laretz. Meaning, somebody who lives in Chutz Laretz. A Chutznik. And he died. He got what was coming to him. Baruch HaMakom Shehargo, thank God for killing him. Baruch Hashem, he did something wrong. The who, meaning, and you, Yered Achrav, you're going to follow him? That was the Gemara in Ketubah. Now there's one line that's going to become later, and it's an interesting point to make whether these two stories are connected. Because this story can stand alone just about leaving Eretz Yisrael for Chutz Laretz. Let me ask you, is Yibum a mitzvah?
Yes.
Absolutely. So this means that even to go perform this mitzvah, Rabbi Chanina is saying, no. Okay, what could be a reason why? What kind of iser can it be to leave Eretz Yisrael?
It's an iser deraita?
No. So it's an iser derabbana. So we're not... Is it iser... Ramban. Okay. According to the Ramban, it is. But according to, let's say, the Ravid, Ramban, many others, it's not. Even according to the Ramban, some say that it may only be in the times of the Mikdash. It's a discussion in the Ramban. But without getting into that. Off topic. Okay? So, what would be the reason to say that he can't leave to go do this mitzvah? A mitzvah d'oraita against an issur d'rabbanan.
He's kutit.
No. Because then there wouldn't even be a mitzvah at all. She could come to him. So you're saying, because there is another way, that is a... Kutit, he's saying, because she's a heathen because she lives in Chutz Laretz.
So...
She's Jewish.
But she's Jewish.
She is Jewish. Discuss that. That's coming up too. So one suggestion was what you said was there's another way. The other suggestion I heard was that going to Chutz Laretz, and this is also making an assumption, and that's part of what we're going to discuss now, is what is indeed the nature of leaving Eretz Yisrael. But if living in Eretz Yisrael is the mitzvah, is it a one-time mitzvah or is it a constant mitzvah? So now it's not a question of you are stopping a one-time mitzvah and violating a one-time iser midorabanan to go in order to fulfill a mitzvah midoraita, but we are adding up all the time that you would be missing from living in Eretz Yisrael compared to the one doraita of Yibum. But probably the more pshat or oriented answer would be yours.
She could have come.
Yes.
Women didn't
didn't travel. So he could go there and get her, like you said, meaning he can physically go and bring her, and it would be a minimal trip, not going to live in Chutz La'aretz, which is why I said the majority of the Mefarshim explain that it's not just go to marry her and bring her back, but it's go to marry her and live there with her. Okay, because that would seem to be a much simpler solution, which seems to have not been an option then. Okay. We have another version of the story in the Yerushalmi in source 5. And remember, we said in source 7 that the Rosh says, why does the Ravid say it's a mitzvah to leave Eretz Yisrael? Muchach meher Yerushalmi. And this is the Yerushalmi he quotes. So let's read the Yerushalmi. The story should sound the same. Let's focus on one or two details that might be different there. The Yerushalmi says, Tani b'shem Rabbi Yehuda. Habam yiminat hayam aser lo legalech. Okay, just like our Gemara, if you come from overseas, you can't shave. Rabbi Yehuda kedaite. This follows Rabbi Yehuda shita. The Rabbi Yehuda amar asur lefresh lefrosh the Yam Gadol. One cannot go to the Yam Gadol. Is that because it's dangerous? Is that because it's leaving Eretz Yisrael? Is that because it? What if you went another way? Well, the Gemara continues, and now it tells a story that should sound familiar. What? And actually, before the story, it says a line: Me'ata Kohen sheyatzah lechutz laaretz hoil v'yatzah shelo v'ratzon chachamim ye'aser lo legaleach. A Kohen who leaves the chutz laaretz, we have tuma chutz laaretz. What tuma is that called? Tumat eretz ha'amim of the nations. There's a tuma, an impurity, based on all the other nations and everything they do in Chutz La'aretz. So a Kohen is not allowed to go to Chutz La'aretz. And if he does, so he's not allowed to shave. Context. Connect the two. We said, you can't go to Chutz La'aretz, asur lefrosh, person who comes from Minat Yam can't shave, based on Rabbi Yehuda Shita that you can't go to Yam HaGadol. And we said, and a Kohen who goes to Chutz La'aretz comes back and can't shave because he did something wrong. What's the reason? What is Rabbi Yehuda saying? Also, the Frosh Liyama Gadol, you can't go to Chutz La'aretz. That's how the Ravid understands this. And in fact, the Gemara continues. Chad Kohen. In our Gemara, it was Gavra, person. Here it says Kohen. Kohen. That's going to allow a person to disagree with the Ravid's reading of our Gemara. In other words, maybe this is a special rule for Kohanim. But it could be that the rest of us are indeed allowed to go to Chutz La'aretz. But Chad Kohen, Ata Legavi Rabbi Chanina, Amar Lo Mal Latzit Letzur Latzot Dvar Mitzvah Lachlotz Ol Yavin. See, another difference to do either Chalitza or Yibum. Amar Le Achiv Shel Oto Aish Yatsa. He left Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Hamakom Shenagvo. Thank God Hashem got him. And you want to do the same thing, and it has another version here as well, where it does indeed say Nachriya, and the answer could indeed be that he's saying, no, don't go, because you're going to end up marrying a Nachriya. But now let's go back to the end of source 6. Right after this story, the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kishem Shasur Latzeit Me'eretz Yisrael LeBavel, Kach asur latzeit mi Bavel l'shar haaretz. Just like you can't leave Eretz Yisrael in order to go to Bavel, you can go to Bavel, from Bavel to other places. So here, our picture is a little bit different. We have the story of the man who wants to go to Chutz La'aretz to perform a mitzvah, and the Gemara follows it with a line about what's the difference between Bavel and everywhere else, or Eretz Yisrael and Bavel? Torah. Follows the line about Torah, as in the nature of the Isser is limited to going from a place of Torah to a place of non-Torah, meaning Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, certainly, and then Bavel. So the problem was, this person was going from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, so he's leaving a place of Torah. That, if I'm going to ask you, is there a problem of leaving Eretz Yisrael? So if you were to base it based on that line of the Gemara, you would say only to go live in a place that has less Torah than where you are. Okay? I'm going to present one more sugya, and now we'll see how the Rishonim makes sense of it.
You refer to the Gemara here in Sukkot. You're not referring to the case of the woman who lived in the Beit.
Correct. Correct. I was not. I was back to source 6. Okay. Fine. Good. We're getting there. Coming up. The Gemara, our Gemara, both in Moed Katan and in Ketubot, doesn't discuss the foundation of the prohibition to leave Eretz Yisrael. So let's ask 2 points. One important point about our Gemara here, which is it in fact forbidden to leave Eretz Yisrael? Or is the Gemara's discussion restricted to the issue of can you shave on Chol HaMoed after having left Eretz Yisrael for one reason or another? And then the follow-up question is, assuming it is forbidden to leave Eretz Yisrael, what is the nature of that prohibition? Okay, I want to answer 2 questions, not just your question. So the Rosh cites this Ravid, who says, we're dealing with the prohibition of leaving Eretz Yisrael, and he arrives at that based on this Yerushalmi that we read in Source 5. In other words, the Ravid understands the Gemara question, can you shave on Chol HaMoed, based on the question whether or not you were allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Who else understands that way? Source 8. Shulchan Aruch. Ve'elo megalchin b'moed. And it lists the people who are allowed to shave. It's basically our Mishnah. V'chein habam mi'medinat hayam b'chol HaMoed. Somebody who shows up on Chol HaMoed having come from Medinat Hayam. O sheba be'erev haregel v'lo ayashut b'yom n'golech. It's not only if he showed up in the middle of Chol HaMoed, but even if he shows up mamish the minute before Yontif, he still didn't have enough time to shave before Yontif, he also gets this dispensation. Vehu shelo yatsa me'eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz. One more word. L'tayel. So he's taking the Ravid, and he's taking our Gemara. Lashut. It's only a problem if you went to travel, vacation, an excursion. And it's only a problem, like the Ravid, only if it was from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. How does the Rambam hold? Source 9. V'haba mimidinat hayam. Somebody who comes from overseas. V'hu shelo yatza litayel. Ela lischoro l'kiyotze ba. If you came from overseas and you went for business, etc. Not for a vacation. What is different between Source 8 and Source 9? Exactly. Exactly. Is that a factor here? If, according to the Rambam, the factor of leaving Eretz Yisrael v'chutz la'aretz doesn't come into play. It's only a distinction between whether or not you're leaving for mizonot, for schora. Maybe even he's paskening larvicha might be okay, just as l'schora, for business. But not for vacation. But let's say, let me ask you another question. The second question we had was, what would be the nature of this prohibition? In other words, even if we accept the Ravid's position that you can't leave Eretz Yisrael for Chutz La'aretz, what is the nature of that prohibition? For that, let's go to Source 10, one line. Tana Rabbana. Ein yotzin me'aretz l'chutz la'aretz. You can't go from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. El im kein amdu satayim b'selo. Unless food here got so expensive that the price of wheat doubled. Why not? Rashbam. Rashbam and Baba Batra fulfills the place of Rashi after a certain daf. Rashi we don't have or didn't write on the rest of Baba Batra, so we have the Rashbam on the side of the page. The Rashbam says, "Ein yotzin shemafkia atzmo minam mitzvot." Why can't you go to Chutz La'aretz unless wheat gets really expensive? Because you're uprooting yourself from the mitzvot. What mitzvot? mitzvah to tluyah baretz would be the easy assumption, correct? What mitzvah didn't he mention then? Which? Dealing with the land. Or in other words, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, living in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, in Rav Kiat's moment of mitzvah, it is it the mitzvah to tluyah baretz? And therefore, you are missing out on Shrumos and Maestros. Or is it you are missing out on the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael? That would have to depend on what we were saying about the Ramban. Meaning the Ramban's view about living in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah, so that would make sense. That's a reason not to leave. What is the Rambam's view? It's pretty famous, I would say. The Rambam's Minyan HaMitzvot doesn't include the mitzvah of living in Eretz, of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And the Megillat Esther is a commentary on the side of the Rambam. And he says that according to the Rambam, without a mikdash, it's only midrabanan. Though many other acharonim disagree with this. I saw in Rav Herschel Schechter's article in the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society, Volume 8, he has a discussion of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, not the discussion of leaving to Chutz Laaretz. But he had a line there which he can make, which is that most acharonim conclude that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael constitutes a mitzvah according to both Ramban and Rambam. Meaning, even though the Rambam does enlist it as one of his 613, it's still somehow, I don't know, a greater value, a mitzvah. I mean, the acharonim think in the Rambam that he thinks it's a mitzvah, even if he doesn't count it as one of the 613. And that can work because the Rambam has all sorts of rules about what mitzvahs he counts, and if a mitzvah is part of another mitzvah, he doesn't count it, etc. So I say only Rav Schechter can say it because I can't say I read most acharonim. I can't say I read any good number or percentage of acharonim. But he can say it. He says most acharonim conclude that. But okay. But we might have suggested we're dealing with something related to Kedusha Da'aretz, and now you're canceling the mitzvah of settling Eretz Yisrael. But that's not the implication of the Gemara, because Source 6 says, right after the story about not being able to go, Kishem she'asur latzeit me'Eretz Yisrael abavel, kach asur latzeit mi'bavel l'shar atzot. Just like you can't leave Eretz Yisrael for Bavel, you can't leave Bavel to other places, and the Rambam paskins that, which seems to say that it's not based on an Isser of leaving Eretz Yisrael, because otherwise what would be the problem of leaving Bavel? But in order to say that this is a Torah prohibition, we have to find a source. So Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal, on Yom Ha'atzma'ut, Mashana Bet, suggested that it's not dealing here with a prohibition, but rather with the cancellation of the positive commandment. As in, you are missing out on the chiyuv, on the kiyum that you get. Always missing that. Correct. So now, when Chazal are saying you can't leave Eretz Yisrael, they're saying you need a good reason, because otherwise you are missing out on the constant fulfillment of that.
That is greater than the mitzvah.
That
one mitzvah is greater than the mitzvah.
So I don't know how to explain that in light of the Gemara in Ketubot. He said it in light of the Gemara in Moed Katan. As in the Ravid is saying, this person, Yatza Shalom B'Rishut, maybe what he's saying, Shalom B'Rishut, what's the Rishut you need, is you would need a good reason to stop fulfilling that commandment, that mitzvah.
I thought that was why one of the parashat you read here said there was a number of mitzvahs he's not going to do, and that therefore is bigger than the one mitzvah.
Correct. That was a suggestion I made.
You say it's one to one.
Yes. Okay. Yes, and we're going to see one more. Yes, where a husband and wife are arguing about where to live, and the ksuba ramifications, as in if one wants to live in Eretz Yisrael and the other doesn't. Okay. Let us go now to Source 12. We have another Rambam. This is where the Rambam discusses whether or not you can leave Eretz Yisrael. And I say this with in mind everything we said right now about the Rambam versus others, and is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? Is there? Well, let us look at source 12. Aser latzeit me Eretz Yisrael lechutza la'aretz lit olam. Lit olam. What is lit olam?
Forever.
Okay, I'm going to offer two possibilities. A person is only forbidden to leave Eretz Yisrael if he does so forever. Okay, that's one way to read this Rambam. Right? It's also, let's say, lechutz aretz le'olam, but if you're only going for a week, it's okay. Le'olam, permanently. Thank you. Thank you for your help. Okay, but a person who intends to return to Eretz Yisrael wouldn't violate this prohibition of the Rambam. Or, le'olam, always. There is always a prohibition to leave Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the Rambam left that for you to decide. Well, let's see if we can figure it out. We're going to look at source 13, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Discusses a Kohen. And a Kohen, can he leave Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara says he can leave for certain reasons. So two of the reasons are, Umetame lilmo Torah, belisa isha. In order to go learn Torah, he wants to go learn in Lakewood, okay? Or Lisa Isha, there's a very lovely lady there waiting for him, and he wants to marry her. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Eimatai. When can he go to Chutz Laretz to learn Torah? Bizman she'ein motzei lilmod. When he doesn't find a place to learn in Eretz Yisrael. Ava bizman she'motzei lilmod en omitame. Everyone's invited here. Nobody has any excuses. Rabbi Yossi Omer, nope. Afil bizman she'motzei lilmod. Even if he finds a place to learn here in Eretz Yisrael, Yitma, he can still go to Chutz Laretz. Even though that means he'll get tummy with tumat eretz amim, but why? Lefisha ein adam zochel lilmod mikol, because a person isn't necessarily successful learning. Ein adam lo meid ela b'makom shalivo chafetz. You can't learn where you don't want
to
learn.
Would they draw the same parameters when it comes to the woman? That is, you don't know if you're going to find the woman that you need in Eretz Yisrael. It might.
So after you've went around Eretz Yisrael dating for a while, you could go to Chutz Laretz and try dating there, is what you're saying.
No, you don't have to try all the yeshivas.
Oh.
You have to try every yeshiva.
You don't have to try every yeshiva. Well, oh. Okay. That would be the discussion there. So, Tosvot, right here, source 14, on that Gemara, says, Lilmo Torah v'litso isha. What does it mean he can go to Chutz Laretz to learn, and he didn't go to Chutz Laretz to marry a woman? Hey, Rush. Bedato lachzor l'Eretz Yisrael. Only if he returns. De'ilu ein dato lachzor. We know the Gemara in Ketubot says that you're not allowed to go to Chutz Laretz. Right? The one we read. Achiv shalzen nasa avorach hachavim, or a woman, isha, v'meid baruch hamakom shahargo, baruch Hashem, he was killed. V'zeh yered acharav l'Chutz Laretz. You're going to go to Chutz Laretz? That's number one. Okay? So the Tosot seems to say that it's about leaving Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz permanently. And if this would be the Rambam source, and the Rambam says Lo'olam, it was our first suggestion. Lo'olam means you can't leave Eretz Yisrael if you're doing so on a permanent basis. But for any temporary trip, it would be allowed. It's harder to explain it with the one that means it is always forbidden. Okay. Tosfot continues here, and this will be our final topic, where he says, Bidavka behanach mitzvot. Only for those two mitzvot. Actually, the Gemara comes right after one other about fighting with a non-Jew over nechasim. As if a non-Jew is going to take over your business interests elsewhere, you could go testify in court and come back. So, but still, those three reasons, because the Rambam actually codifies that third one as well. But here, it says only these two reasons. Shehen chashuvot. Lilmo Torah shegadol Talmud Torah shemevi lidei Maisa veisha nami a wonderful Sheva Brachos, you know, lo tu barah, it's wonderful, you have to be married. Aval l'shar mitzvot lo. So the limitation are you can leave Eretz Yisrael for these mitzvot. not for all mitzvot. So when we have our discussion in a second about I want to go on vacation in Chutz Laaretz, you can't even go because I want to go get a lulav, because I want to go for any of the other mitzvot. V'hachi mashma from the Gemara Megillah. But the Shiltot, Rav Haigon, the Rav Acha, sorry, Shiltot the Rav Acha, Mefurash Hanach Tekili, these two mitzvot are rather lenient mitzvot. As in, Kol Shekein L'Shar Mitzvot Shein Hashukah. All the more so you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael for more important mitzvot.
What's more important?
Ah, putting on tefillin, davening, Shabbos, Kashrus, everything. Meaning he's saying those two are lenient. That too, Achnas is Kalim. Knock on the doors. Okay. The understanding of Tosfot seems to be that the allowance exists only when you're going to return. And then there's no prohibition on leaving Eretz Yisrael. And again, this doesn't only apply to a Kohen. This is on everybody. Even though the Gemara was about a Kohen becoming Tamei, Tosfot says everybody can go to Chutz Laaretz for these two reasons if it's only a temporary excursion. That means Tosfot's understanding what we said, which was that when the Rambam says, Asur Latzeit, L'chutz Laaretz, Me'eretz Yisrael, L'chutz Laaretz, L'olam, it means if it's forever. But if it's a temporary trip, that would be allowed. And this also fits with the Yerushalmi we had in Source 5. Why? In contrast to the explanation offered by the Ravid. Why does the Ravid say that person couldn't go to Yibum? He was saying, because you're not allowed to go to Chutz Laaretz. Tosfot is saying, no, that discussion there was about a Kohen and the prohibition falling upon him not to contract Tumat Eretz Ha'amim. But an ordinary Jew, if he intends to return to Eretz Yisrael, there is no prohibition for him to go to Chutz Laaretz. So we've seen three understandings, and we'll sum up and make our last point. Three understandings. There is no prohibition whatsoever. We can understand that from Yerushalmi, who seemed to make it about a Kohen. Second possibility. The prohibition only applies when you leave with no intention of return. Tosfot said that. Third, the Ravid. The prohibition to leave Eretz Yisrael applies across the board in all cases. And without getting into it, the Rambam could be read with all of those. So now, let me ask you the question. Going to Chutz Laaretz. Can you go on vacation to Chutz Laaretz? So, first let's read Source 15. The Magen Avram. L'tayel. Aval yatza l'arviach o l'rot p'nei chavero shari demikrei mitzvah. But going for business is allowed, and going to see your friend is a mitzvah. And that seems to be a very broad definition of mitzvah, I would say, no? So Rav Lichtenstein discussed this as well. And before I tell you what he said, I want to tell you a story. My Rebbe in yeshiva, when I got to yeshiva, was a man named Rav Mordechai Friedman. His father, I think, lived right nearby. Rav Simcha, he was the principal of Howard. Okay, Rav Simcha Tzvi Friedman. I know when he gets an aliyah, he gets called up as Ben Simcha Tzvi or something. So I don't know what name he went by, but Rabbi Friedman, who lived near here. But so my Rebbe, Armin Friedman, thank you. So my Rebbe is his son, Rav Mordechai Friedman. And for his 20th anniversary, he wanted to go on vacation. He saved up and wanted to go on vacation. He lives here in Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to go to Chutz Laaretz. So what did you do? You need reshut. You go to your Rebbe to ask permission. So he went to Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal. And he said to him, can we go on vacation to Chutz Laaretz? And Rav Lichtenstein said, no. So he said, but what if I want to go see the Alps to be inspired by the Rabbona Shalom's creation? So he said, oh, you didn't say that. And he said, Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch said that he was at a famous story, that he was asked about his trip to the Alps, and he said, when I get to Olam Haba, Hashem's going to say, Shamshin, did you see my Alps? So Rav Lichtenstein said, let me finish the story. So he said, yeah, you could go. So when he went back to his seat after asking the question, he saw Rav Moshe Lichtenstein. He is now the current Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Har Tzion, and he's the son of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal. And he told him the conversation he had. And he said, it's very interesting, because Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal once took a trip, meaning he obviously went dozens of times for the yeshiva and business, but he once took a vacation to Italy. And he made sure, he called the community there and asked them if they wanted a shir, and of course they wanted a shir, and therefore that was like his heter to allow himself to go on this vacation to Italy, because now he's going to teach Torah, learn Torah, etc. While in Italy, he went to there's a gallery there called Uffizi. Florence. Okay. So Rav Lichtenstein told his family afterwards, despite having to make the shir that he could have gotten, he said he was so inspired. Okay, you're going to help me pronounce this name. Caravaggio. He was so inspired by Caravaggio's Akedas Yitzchak portrayal that Dayenu, that going to see that would have been enough for him to be able to go to Chutzlar. So I've been told by others that they've seen it and didn't get as much out of it as Rav Lichtenstein, so maybe he had a certain appreciation of the agony of Avram and Yitzchak, and seeing it portrayed so inspired him. Can you go to Chutz La'aretz for a vacation? Can you go to see the Alps? Can you go lirot p'nei chavero, as the Magen Avram says? And obviously, that's going to depend a little bit on the hashkafa of the posek you're asking. Is he the type of person who sees value in going to see Caravaggio's Akedas Yitzchak or going to see the Alps? Because the basic halacha says you're allowed to go only, like in source 12, La'olam, Elalilmo Torah, Lisa Isha, Lahatzil Mina Akum, means to save your land, V'yachzor La'aretz, V'chein L'schora, etc. Meaning, so the basic halacha is only for those basic mitzvot, and we limit it to mitzvot, and we limit it to a temporary trip where you're going to return. But are we going to include in the mitzvah growing in our avodas Hashem through culture, through beautiful scenery? And that would depend on the hashkaf of the person. I just happened to be this weekend reading a biography, a malach in our midst, of Rav Moshe Twersky, Hashem Yikom Damo, and that Shamshon Rafal, her story is there as well. And he said, before you get asked about the Alps, Hashem's going to ask, did you see my Zvachim and Menachos? So, again, it depends a lot on that. Rav Lichtenstein also made one last suggestion, that it could be the way we're explaining the Rambam about leaving Eretz Yisrael and coming back, and it's temporary. He says it could be that it's like the mitzvah of sukkah. Sukkah, you have to make your home. Though there's a nice Gemara that praises Batlanim who just sleep 7 days of sukkahs and never leave their sukkah. Despite that, the way it is teshvu kein taduru, live in it. That doesn't mean you have to stay in your sukkah all day. You go out, you go work, you do everything you do, okay, without getting into working on Chol HaMoed. You go, you live your life, and you come home. And the sukkah is your abode for that week, based on you returning to it each night. He suggested the possibility that that's the same with the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, with that in mind, you can again allow a vacation to Chutz La'aretz to be inspired, knowing that you're coming back, and that doesn't preclude the possibility of Eretz Yisrael still being your home, because you'll return to it. Ashreinu that we all live here in Eretz Yisrael. Scott.
According to those opinions, to say.